On October 29th, I attended a conference at Cornell called From Cell to Cell, which talked about prison in television and performance. In order to reckon with and transform the criminal justice system, it's necessary to examine, critique, and perhaps undo the network of images and media representation of imprisonment. Without changing images, it's impossible to change reality. I interviewed two organizers of the event. One of them, Nick Fossett, who is a PhD candidate in performing and media art in Cornell, said.
It's kind of a small symposium, and the idea was to approach representations of incarceration and imprisonment and all the ideas sort of around that, criminality, punishment, et cetera, approach representations on two fronts. So we all know shows like Oz or Orange is the New Black or a million others, right? Which kind of, if you turn on the TV at any given moment, I would put money on there being something about prison on the TV. And so we approach it from that direction, asking questions about what does it mean to have all this prison stuff and what representations are out there and what does this say about us and what does this say about the prison, if anything. And then we set that up alongside or against another approach, which is prison theater, which is one of my main interests, or performance in prison. So there are lots of art-making programs. There's a good history. It's a long history of making art in prison and in prison people making art.
Another organizer, Hannah Mueller, who is a PhD candidate in German studies in Cornell, talked about her research and the representations of male and female prisoners on U.S. television.
I think, the representation of female prisoners is interesting because on the one hand, in a lot of ways, they've always been ignored a little bit, right? So in the U.S., the stereotypical image of the prisoner is usually male, like a violent criminal, male, often black. So that's the stereotypical image of the prisoner in the U.S., And women never quite fit into that. So there's always this idea that you have to somehow explain why women would end up in prison because they don't fit into this model. On the one hand, I think means that incarcerated women have always been neglected a little bit as an issue, even though their numbers have increased dramatically in the last decades, even more so. Than the number of male prisoners. So there's that, and I think Orange is the New Black is important in the sense that it does put a spotlight on that, right?
It's just like the Hamptons, only fucking horrible.
There are a large number of women now incarcerated, women of color, predominantly incarcerated in the U.S., many for nonviolent offenses. At the same time, I think if we look at a show like Orange is the New Black, we see that this somewhat more sympathetic image of the female prisoner we get as opposed to the stereotypical image of the sort of the male wild animal criminal that we know from so many TV shows is that it's very much tied to the woman as sort of as a mother and the woman as someone who cares about her physical appearance, about hygiene, about privacy and modesty, etc. So all those things come up in the representation of female prisoners on TV, which is problematic in its own way.
So still you can see this very typical narrative, which has certain values attached to it and a certain politics attached to it. It's not true at all. And that what it does is create an idea about prisons that that hurts people.
So when they actually get released and people still have this image of them as people who are never going to change, who can't be rehabilitated, etc., that makes free entry very difficult, right? Because they'll be met with resistance basically every step of the way.
There might be a common assumption, right, that things like media or different representations mm-hmm. don't have any impact on reality. Mm-hmm. Right? That these are just things people enjoy for fun. 2 days after the election, we can see how, in this case, representations have a direct impact on reality.
We're not necessarily talking about prisons anymore, but criminality, I think. I mean, both the image of the, right, the Mexican rapist who comes across the border people, illegally, sell best. Drugs to white college you. Kids and rape white American women or something. And then there's this other image of, I mean, when you heard Trump talk about black communities and the way he described them as horrible spaces, right, where there's like no order, that are full of crime and disarray and poverty, etc., right? And of course, there is severe social inequality in this country that does disproportionately affect communities of color. But it's also an image that totally disregards everything African Americans have worked for, right, to build their communities.
There are many misrepresentations of prisoners on the media, but in recent years, we can also see some progressive examples.
There are examples of media that, in fact, do good, I think, or actively try to do good, right? Ava DuVernay's movie 13th.
1 out of 4 human beings with their hands on bars, shackled, in the world are locked up here in the land of the free.
Khalif Browder was walking
which just was released on Netflix, which is about the 13th Amendment, right, which abolishes slavery except in instances of punishment, right? So it effectively legalizes a certain form of slavery, is the argument of the film, and an argument of a lot of scholars who have worked on this for years and years and years. So that's one example, right? Another great example outside of film and TV is, I think, maybe people disagree with me, the podcast Serial, which was hugely successful. It's really good storytelling, and also I honestly think that listeners, it shocked listeners into understanding something about policing that that not everyone understands, which is that stuff happens that is not good, right? I mean, even cops lie. My folks are really go wrong and people get hurt and people get put in prison, right? And Serial sort of made people understand that the system is fallible.
Besides attending visual representations of incarceration, the conference also invited scholars, activists, and artists to explore the intersections between theater and performance-based prison work. The Civic Ensemble Reentry Theater Program is one of the theaters working to provide an opportunity for members of the Tompkins County community to participate in art programming. The original play is written by formerly incarcerated participants, and this play is all about their life experiences. Sarah K. Chalmers, who is the co-founder of this program, told us their mission and how they work.
We listened to participants' needs and tried to respond to that, as well as providing a structure through the theater work that we were doing for people to not just express themselves, but to learn new things and to connect with each other and to find that hope that we were talking about, that there is something after getting out of jail or prison, and that there are people that we can educate about what that's really like and who we are, we being people who are returning citizens, and really sharing the truth of that with the community. You know, what's the message? What's the question? What's the challenge to our community that people who are returning citizens want to make? Not what I think be said. And so that's the dialogue, that's the debate that we can have as part of the process of making the plays. And that's where I'd like to see, sounds like the program is wanting to go, you know, of like the group defining itself.
Tara Dixon is one of the participants in the Reentry Theater program. He shared his experience with us.
My thing is, like, I really, when rap first came out, I really, really enjoyed it because it was about learning and having fun, and it was not negative. There was no swearing. I think the first rap I heard with swearing was called Dirty Rap. And so now when I listen to rap, it's a form of art that I really like because, like, there's message in rap. There's, whether it's good or bad, there's a message in it. But when I hear young people rap and all of the swearing and everything, it irritates me. Because you can say anything two different ways. I mean, you could say mother effer or mother lover. You know, you could say poop or doo-doo. That rap was about old school meets new school, and in the end, they kind of had like a common ground. They kind of respected each other.
After the performance,
one guy, he said to me, "That music, man, it reached my soul," you know. And I was like, "Wow, this I would never think."
Actually, this kind of theater program not only helps the people who have been incarcerated to re-enter the community, but also brings audience something that is very close to our heart. Nick shared his emotional moments with us when he saw two performances in the theater. And I want to end this story with Nick's words.
One was a kind of performative paper about working with incarcerated women in South Africa, which incorporated dance and song and also rigorous scholarly research. And the other was a performance that was based on interviews with families of people who are in prison. And the thing that still I was just so surprised by and deeply moved by were both pieces had songs. Both pieces, they sang something. And there was something about hearing their singing voices. But just suddenly, in the middle of performing, they'd start singing. And this communicated something to me that I can't even articulate about humanity, about being in a room with other people and, you know, just connecting with someone, even though you don't know what someone else is thinking or they're totally different, you're totally separate from someone, but still being there and hearing those songs, thinking about that gives me some kind of hope. Buy me